Blog Talk Radio.
Alafia, welcome and greetings. Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You have your Omika 7 in the house, your advisor, the one you need, and your advocate, the one you want. We'd like to welcome you and thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us by lending us your airwaves here in the Care to Read Room. Our call number is 646-478-0270. Once again, thank you for joining the Care to Read Room, and I have some great things to tell you about what's going on this month. If you could hold for a second as I begin to get some of those things ready, I'm going to put you on pause, and we'll be right back at you in the ear.
My Best Friend, arranged by the author Sherelle Omika Bidia.
Once again, and we're back, we'd like to thank you for joining us and for allowing us to be a part of your world. And you're in the air. Once again, a little technical difficulty here in trying to get things going for you. but just bear with us. To those listening audience, we'd like to invite those parents and those teachers out in the atmosphere to be a part of the show. We'd like to summon those administrators as well to come to the room. And once again, thank you for joining us and being a part of this establishment. And as is and as always, we stop to give our ritual and orientation for the room. And I'm going to ask my assistant, Terrell, to come and purify me. Terrell, will you pass me the water so you can help purify me? Thank you very much. And as I prepare this ritual to set things in order for our ancestors, I look to my right and I look to my left, and I look for the nod from the ancestors from my right to give me the go-ahead and from my elders. And they're giving me the go-ahead to say, yes, everything is in order. I have been given permission to speak. I'd like to say to you that our organization has been underwritten by Project 2019. We are also a family and consumer education, and we do practice the African tradition of presenting the ritual of the libation ceremony. And at this time, we'd like to present the libation ceremony to you. And in preparing this libation ceremony, you will notice that I have prepared soft music in the background, but please bear with me. As I begin to prepare the names of our ancestors that have gone on before, and those names who might not be called, and if there are names that are people who have gone on before us and we unbeknownst to us and that may be on their way, we also acknowledge those ancestors as well. We start off by calling out the name of Nina Simone Ashe. We call out the name of Carter G. Woodson Ashe. We call out the name of Dr. Clark Ashe, Dr. Carruthers Ashe. We call out the name of Booker T. Washington Ashe. We call out the many names of our ancestors. And those names are continuing. Jackie Robinson Ashe. We continue to call out the name of Dr. Charles Drew Ashe. We call out the name of the great Reverend Zanu, Chief Metahochi Zanu Ashe. And then I go to call out the names of my personal ancestors, first calling out my father's name, Robert Jenkins Ashe, Clara Mae Jenkins Ashe, Tommy Pete Harvey Ashe, Essily Pope Ashe, Marvin Jenkins Ashe, Robert Jenkins Ashe, Ruby Lee Bracken Ashe, Mary Lou Hawkins Ashe, Sam Williams, Sam's Lily Ashe, George Lily Ashe, Michelle Harvey Ashe, and we call out the name of Emmanuel Day Ashe. Then I call on my deities of my head, Yah Menja Ashe, Obatala Ashe, the Father Spirit. And as I call on those spirits, I pay homage to each and every one of them and those names that we might have forgotten or on their way, from the youngest unborn child to the oldest elder, I say Ashe. And as I prepare this libation to pour in all four cardinal directions of the east, the west, the north, and the south, I scatter the water from each part of the earth to pour libations to summon my ancestors to be present here with us today, to allow us to tap into their melanin. If they should leave anything for it, let it be a bit of their spirit. As we tap into those spirits, let us find ourselves worthy, and let us find ourselves on purpose today. And we thank you for allowing us to prepare this ritual for you. We thank you for allowing us to be before you today. And I'd like to read you a statement that comes out of the teaching of the Honorable Chief Anahochi Zanu. In silence, the Great One sits and passes his judgment. He dons his magnificent robes and fights the drum of Ejibi, of Miami, of the beautiful. The great Orisha of compassionate puts a person into the world and does not forget him. He takes him from those who have given to those who have not. And great kings, who is just as the hands of God of destiny. He looks at us out of the corner of one eye, seeing us, but does not see us. The great molded one of us bit by bit, and makes us wait and wait and wait. A worry, OGB. This is written for the purpose of our African people. This is written to keep them encouraged, to let them know that the old Ladula Mare has not forgotten about them, and that the right hand of Ifa sees all things, and that as we call on our ancestors, they will be careful to guide us and to allow us to stand on their shoulders and allow us to enter in this world with purpose, meaning. And it is up to the living to stay in touch with the dead. It is up to us to call their names on a regular basis and ask for the assistance that we need. And ancestors, we ask you for the assistance that we need in our household, in our home. We ask you for the assistance that we need as we go about our day-to-day establishment. We ask you to don't forget about our families and be a part of our family, to make sure that we are whole, with accountable for remembering you. And we thank you this day, ancestors, when we forevermore remember you. You pay allegiance to our flag. I am whole, and I am free. I am free. We pay allegiance to the flag. Here's to this flag of mine, the red, black, and green. Hopes and future bright, Africa has seen. Here's to the red of it, great nations shall know of it. In times to come, red blood shall flow of it. Historians shall write of it. Great flag of mine. Here's to the black of it, 400 years of action. Destiny depends on it. The red, black, and green of it. Old flag of mine. Here's to the green of it. Young men shall dream of it. Better shot and shout of it. Mates shall sing of it. Having held it so high. Here's to the whole of it. Colors brought and told of it. Please, as my soul says, regardless of what is told of it. Thank you to God for giving it. Great flag of mine. I am whole and I am free. I thank you for being a part of our ritual, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for being, you must be reminded at all times. You must teach your children about the rituals and traditions. And you must teach them that it's important that they should call on their ancestors things and be reminded that they are so ever present. And ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you for being able to participate in that ritual with me. Take that ritual and begin to start to applying it in your own household and in your own life. You will find that it will make for a much richer climate and much richer family life. It's important that you know tradition and custom, and you mostly know your heritage and know that you are a tradition. Thank you. Now we are meditating on the word. As you meditate and count breaths, taking two deep breaths, clearing the atmosphere, breathing in and breathing out. This is also a part of the ritual that you should partake in the meditation, and you should begin to meditate on the word.
Meditate on the word. Arranged by the author, Sherelle Omiika Bidiako-Garth. While sitting here in the night, waiting for daylight, I stop and meditate on the words of the affirmations that I've heard. While reflecting back on the words, I can recall you are the head and not the tail. You are to succeed and not to fail. These are the promises that are needed, which are to be heeded while meditating on the word. So whenever I'm feeling low, I know just where to go. I go to the word for meditation without a doubt or hesitation. You see, when I meditate, I don't sleep. I dream in order to stay ahead of the games and scheme. I meditate on the word both day and night, for I know that it's not by might, but by his word, which has given me sight. While meditating on the word, I'll whisper words of power that will keep me focused every hour upon hour. I'll meditate on the word, for I know my way to success remains open and clear.
Thank you once again, ladies and gentlemen, and we're back, and we'd like to welcome you for being a part of that particular part of the ceremony. And as you know, we do give that introduction for the benefit of our culture and our heritage. I want you to know that you have a rich culture and a rich heritage. And I know that you know that, but for the benefit of those people who might not understand that, it is important that you take the time to do the rituals. And once again, I'd like to give out the call numbers of this room. That number is 646-478-0270. And ladies and gentlemen, we have been talking about health education. And just to bring those people up who have not been a part of our segment, we have been talking about the conscious-based education, the benefit of employing conscious curriculum. We have also been talking about education and looking at the anxiety, the frustration, and also the disabled positions that the children have become ticketed with a tag or a label of becoming disabled. We spoke about that, and yesterday we had Geraldine Sims, our guest in the room, talking to us about some of the solutions for character building and developing good character and good conduct. And I want to remind you that those things are still in order, good character and good conduct. And we want to be about that business of talking about good character and good conduct, because we know that without good character and good conduct, you cannot prevail, you cannot advance yourself. And most of the people who are of the African belief believe that good character and good conduct goes together. And I just like to repeat those 10 significant traits of the AWA, and that's an AWA who is in training, the character. It is composed of a tradition, a practice of our people, the Yoruba. And they are chastity, number one, number two, hospitality, number three, unselfishness, number four, kindness, number five, truth and restitute, number six, respect for elders, number seven, do not be wicked, number eight, do not steal, number nine, do not break an oath, number 10, do not become hypocritical. And we now wish you the fruits of the EY, good character and good conduct. And as you know, we told you that it was necessary for a person to merely assume the skin personality was not enough, that they had to be the character. And thus far, we are able to see our characters change on a day-to-day basis, and we must be real conscious of the fact so that we don't become ignorant and stupid, which distinguish us from having good character and good conduct. And on that note, I'd like to go right into our subject and to tell you, before we get started, we always bring you a book because we're a literate room and we want you to become literate and we want to close the gap. I have a book that I'd like to recommend for you. And that book is called The Egyptian Book of the Dead. Oh, is this book important, ladies and gentlemen? This was one of the books that Dr. Ray Hagen was delivered and finally saw the truth and began to start to speak the truth based on what E.A.W. Wallace Buttigieg had to say about the Egyptian Book of the Dead. This is a papyrus of the Anu, the Egyptian text, translation and translated, that covers the Egyptian writing as well as the English. This book is very good in and of the fact that it will give you some of the things that were written on the scrolls and the Dead Sea Scrolls and the doctrines of the eternal life. It talks about the Egyptian ideas of God and the gods of the Book of the Dead, the geographical and mythological places and the funeral ceremonies. Yes, they have their own procedure for preparing the bodies and their own procedure for funerals. They believed that the Egyptians would come back and that there was eternal life for them, and they believed in reincarnation and that these Egyptians would come back to live again. That's why they were buried with all their things. Rather superstitious, one might add, or one might think that that's nonsense, but nevertheless, this is the tradition of the Egyptians, our people, African Americans, not some Mideasterners believe, but our people, nevertheless, the Egyptians who were still a part of the Nubian black people. And in this book, Dr. Ray Hagen, he uses this as an example for opening his blind eyes and deaf ears, because he truly said that he was blind and deaf, and he was fighting against the conscious movement because he did not have the knowledge, and he became fully endowed with the knowledge. Upon reading this book, he came to his senses and began to realize what the truth was and started to preach it all over and took that trip to Egypt to become initiated. And ladies and gentlemen, we must all think about our transition and our path. At least the African Americans should look at the rites of passage and know that a woman or male is required to have a rites of passage. And there is a transition period that we must transition into spirituality. And we must find out what is required of us to become more spiritual and to have a rites of passage. So this book would be very good reading to prepare you for that path. And right now I understand that with the Asar Aset group, that there are training groups all over, that they come together and have a forum, and they study scholarly material to learn more about how the Egyptians lived so that they can mimic those ancient times and master what the Egyptians did to have a civilization that was so successful for so many years. It is still one of the seven greatest wonders of the world, ladies and gentlemen. People still marvel at how they were able to not only build the scaffolds of the pyramid that they were using as they were downsliding and on their way out, but they marvel over their dynasties and the millions of years and billions of years that they exist in harmony and functioning and flourishing. Yes, they were flourishing and built a large portion of our civilization, our language, and our mathematics, and what I want to say is they laid the foundation for our language. They laid the foundation for our mathematics, geometry, and they truly are the wonders of the world, and they still remain a mystery to this day. And parents, you ought to take your children through that path of learning more about Egypt and possibly even taking a journey with a scholarly instructor to explain more about it. And I'd like to say that I'd like to get on with our topic today. And our topic here today that we have planned for you is a topic pertaining to teachers as well as administrators. And that topic is a reason to use Philip Roy material and the best practice for educational curriculum. Now, Philip Roy's material I had a chance to examine and was very, very interested in letting more people know about it. Philip Roy and his wife are curriculum writers, and they prepare generic material for classrooms, develop complete whole curriculums. Now, administrators, you definitely might want to know about this. It's used for supplemental material. And a lot of homeschoolers or independent schools, charter schools, schools that are in the area of provider, family, child care providers, they use Philip Roy's curriculum. Now, he asks the question, why would you want to use it? I'm going to read you what it says. Thank you for providing me with the opportunity to discuss the Philip Roy's, Inc. educational curriculum. Some of the features of our material are as follows. Number one, the curriculum materials are comprehensive to meet your program needs today and in the future. Our materials are all research-based. The research and development was done by universal school districts and individual authors throughout the world. Pause for a minute there. Make sure I'm seeing it up. Pause here for a minute to make sure our screen was up. And all of our materials incorporate assessment of the instruments along with the pre- and post-test to provide accountability at no additional cost, he adds. He says his materials are alleged to be the many standards. They meet the standards, assessment, and instruments to provide additional accountability and standardization, such as tabs, and scans, and the ease of comfort, and the memorials that he has put together for you. The referral letters from the users are available along with the selection, he says. Now, let me go more into this. He said teacher's guides are included for each curriculum and also for each unit with each curriculum. And it says our curriculum materials can be integrated into your current curriculum, used to reinforce your academic curriculum, used as an individual curriculum, or used as a resource library. Easy-to-follow material, he adds, lesson plans for each title, and provides the curriculum to be easy to adapt. Now, Philip goes on to say that recorded keeping and management and the systems are included for students and instructors so that there is accountability. And curriculum materials are written on different reading levels, the complexity level to meet the individual needs of all the students. The curriculum can be also used by individuals in group settings, independent studies, and tutoring, mentoring. And certificates of achievement are also included for each lesson, he adds. The materials are duplicatable, so you can duplicate this so that the programs are not cost-effective They are cost-effective, brother. The materials are age-appropriate, relevant, and student that will meet the student needs. He also goes on to say that the workshops and the training can be arranged for you. School districts and state license are available. Students have they benefit from using the curriculum around the world. And all these materials, all of the materials carry a satisfaction guarantee. Okay, now, what I know of Philip Roy's curriculum is that they have a fantastic curriculum for the children working with the early childhood. Now, I'm going to talk with my counterpart here to get him in on a little conversation here just to see what he has to say. Just to see what he has to say in working with child development materials. And just to ask the little, you know, ask him a question about the child development equipment and materials that we've looked at.
Philip, where's the good curriculum?
Now, you know, sometimes you have to ask people if you think the curriculum is good. In what way is it good? Is it good for African-American children? And why would African-American children need Philip Roy's curriculum? And what are some of the things you can use? And what I tell the people is that you can literally use a skeleton as a foundation. You don't need to have the muscles and the veins and the joints put together. You can add those to any foundation. I say it makes for a good foundation. For those teachers that are now considering running their own charter schools, and if they're involved with choice, and I don't mean choice where you get a chance to go and have extra tutorials. The choice I'm talking about is the same choice that Polly Williams lobbied for up in Wisconsin to get the ability to have the state funds given to the families so that their children could transition to any private school that they like in the state. That's what I mean by choice. Now, I was involved in a choice program where I was allowed to work with organizations who had a 501c3, and we could establish our own curriculum and submit that to the state, get it approved, and become a choice school where we'd allow the students to submit their vouchers and they could go to our schools. I was involved in setting up a school in Wisconsin with a group of people, and the school going to tell you it was ran very well under the conscious movement, a conscious-based movement, and this particular school had to have foundation of a curriculum, and we had to have a training department. I ran the training department in and of the fact that I trained the teachers, gave them a foundational level of early childhood development, and help them to prepare to become early childhood teachers. And when you're starting public schools and private schools, it's not necessary for your teachers to be fully credentialed and licensed. If you have people with a degree and a desire to learn, that is a good enough foundation to go in and to implement a specialty area of child development. And that is what I did. I took those candidates, the ones who had liberal arts degree, and if they had a sizable amount of experience in the area of other disciplines, I was involved in a program that would allow them to go through a non-traditional program called the CDA, and that stands for Child Development Associate Degree, which the state has a mandate now, or it's a federal law, that with the shortage of teachers, that they will allow you to go the non-traditional route and take your life experiences, which should be 6 months or more of having hands-on experience in child care, in addition to obtaining 120 clock hours in the area of child development. Now, those courses need to be full-blown courses where you're giving credit hours for them, not just certificate hours. And they must be substantiated at any college where you could get your transcripts evaluated and get credit for that. Now, where you're giving the life experiences is on your hands-on experience and internship of 6 months of at least 460 clock hours, which could equate to 6 months. At that point, the state would allow you to then go on and obtain your coursework through continuing education, 120 clock hours. Once those things have been met, the state will send out a representative to evaluate you on another additional document or a collection called the portfolio. At that point, there's a collection of documents that you must collect for the program. And once collecting those documents, then you are also examined by the rep who will give you a situational exam. At that time, you should have been enrolled in somebody's training program, somebody who is your advisor. And that is what I am, ladies and gentlemen. I am an advisor. Normally, I could be in the setting of a college and be an advisor under a one-year program, or I could actually work in my own program as an independent trainer and advisor to advise these students on preparing their portfolio and getting them ready for their 3.5 hours evaluation. All of these things are heavily governed by the state, and the state sends out a representative to oversee the collecting of the documents. Nevertheless, the advisor works independent in going to the site to observe the student in their environment while working with children and documenting everything that is observed in a specialized form that is sealed and given back to the council. At that point, that advisor can wear two hats. She can wear the hat, or he can wear the hat of an instructor as well. Now, they can also wear the hat of the representative, which would allow them to be a part of the fivefold mission when they examine the student, but it is a conflict of interest if they are an advisor and a rep at the same time. Sometimes the rep decides to step down and become a trainer, advisor, and not a council rep at the same time. Now, I have taken the test to be a rep and was a rep, but saw it necessary to step down to become the trainer advisor so that I could help those students and it wouldn't be a conflict of interest with me working in both areas. Now, I'm saying all that to say that these independent schools, if they are going to start, some of them are required by law to have all certified teachers, but there are other programs which does not require that all the teachers be certified. It requires that they have some type of in-house training. Now, the child development program, who is it appropriate for? It's appropriate for providers who would like to run their own family child care in their home, which would make them perfectly credentialed and licensed. It's also recommended for those teachers who work in child care who are required by law now to hold a CDA, and it's also required for those directors who may want to run their own center and have their credentials in the Child Development Associate. Or, in some states, some Child Development Associates can work in public school with just the CDA alone. Now, the CDA is equivalent to a diploma level, which will give you 9 credit college hours, give you a foundation for starting college with 9 transferable credit hours, which I think is a good start. Some candidates stay at that level and they don't go any further. They just renew their CDA on a yearly basis. Then there are those who go on to matriculate at higher level. That's where we come in at Project 2019. We urge these women to go on to get those credentials because there are certainly grants and funding set aside to aid them in the process of going all the way to complete a bachelor's degree. Now, ladies and gentlemen, for someone that has been a parent and a good instructor and a teacher with child development, there's certainly no reason why they can't go all the way to obtain that bachelor's degree because they're given the aid and the assistance to do it with. I've been a part of CDA Child Development for over 25 years as a degreed undergraduate early childhood specialist. I went on to teach at the college so that it made me an adjunct faculty at the college adjunct faculty to teach child development and also to do independent trainings on my own. I am a 501(c), so that I could very well offer programs in this area. Now, let me say this. We look at Philip Roy's academic curriculum because for those of us who are trying to develop independent programs, we need a foundation to build our curriculums from. And working in the area as a specialty and master curriculum specialist, I've looked at several curriculums before and examined what the needs are. However, I find all of them wanting in the area of African-American children. I find that they are focusing primarily on a Eurocentric curriculum and fail to realize that there must be an African-centered curriculum set into place. And today, I'd like to take you in the direction of addressing some of the things that will make up a good curriculum and how the Philip Roy program could still fit in there, but it must be supplemented. Excuse me for a minute, listening audience. We're going to go to a commercial break, and we're going to bring you right back in the air as I prepare those products to talk to you about. Thank you. And once again, our listening phone number is 646-478-0270. Please call in with your questions. We'd love to talk to you. We're going to a station identification, and we'll put you right back in the air afterwards.
My Best Friend, arranged by the author Sherelle Omiika Bidiako Garth. I'm with a thesis. No, I'm not a doctor studying in amniocentesis. About the effect that the female had on the black man, it was time somebody took a real stand in order to redeem man. My instructors and professors had applauded for me challenging such a topic that had long been avoided. In my effort to find my best friend, it had led me to a place of no real end, realizing in reality that we both existed in total duality. The document was submitted for publishing to Jawanza Kanjufu after it had been read by Teju. He soon wrote back with publishing instruction. Only now I can't get my writing on for so much disruption. In due time, I guess, or maybe even in a good season. You know, all things usually work together for a reason. This task has appeared to lead me down a different path, which has now held up my draft. Moreover, what I ponder, what made me write about the black man, I wonder, while in my struggle to find my best friend, led me to a place of no real end, that we both existed in total duality. I was searching as if I was under a spell, which had my inhibition backed up, like male, lock, stock, and barrel. Father, I hope you'll be able to forgive me for not first attempting to look within. In my struggle to find my best friend, realizing in reality we both existed in total duality. In my final effort to complete this thesis, I had to research all the original pieces, rhyme upon rhyme, serving up no hymns before their time in order to bring a new flavor of line, while collecting these legendary species to collaborate with this foreign thesis. I had to consult with the priests on the topic of discussion, to avoid any future repercussion in my struggle to find my best friend, which had led me to a place of no real end.
Ladies and gentlemen, and we're back. And thank you so very much for joining us this evening on a Thursday, one of my favorite days. We call this Hump Day. And ladies and gentlemen, we're carrying the whole burden today on our own. One of our speakers that was scheduled to come out is engaged right now in merchant selling, and he won't be able to join us, but I'm going to carry this whole thing on my own here since we are speaking about curriculum. And as I go back to ask the question about what is necessary in a curriculum for the administrators to look at for African-American children? Is it just looking at any Eurocentric curriculum such as Philip Roy? Isn't that sufficient? And I say no, it's not sufficient. It just brings about a skeleton which is lacking in various different areas for African-American children. As I told you that in looking at my findings and research, it was discovered that African-American children fared differently in their developmental stages. In fact, they mature faster and develop faster at those early childhood stages and matriculate to an adult at the age of 12. And most Africans know that African-American children are considered fully developed at the age of 12 and can very well lead a household or function on their own, and that is the age of consent to be 12. Most of those children have carried households, and they function as literally adults. Not to think that they have their full faculty, but there have been some exceptions where a large portion of them have been trained well, and they can carry on. So therefore, they require a different type of curriculum other than a Eurocentric curriculum. Now, I'm not saying that to be facetious. I'm not saying that to be prejudiced. I'm saying that to be wise. I have taught in all-white school. And I was told that there was not a need for African-American teachers because they had only 1% African-Americans in their school. And they were very right in saying that because their curriculum had already been set with a Eurocentric self-esteem curriculum for not for African-American children, but for Caucasian children. It was set, and they didn't need me coming in there telling them anything about their ancestors. They had Eurocentric teachers that could do that very well. It was me who had to get it together and realize that I needed to go into my African-centered schools and bring what knowledge I had to them about their African black self. And as I finally come into realization of that, I saw that the children were rejecting the Eurocentric curriculum. I didn't know why I was called in as a specialist to speak and talk to the administrators about why children were failing in social studies and why they disliked social studies until I had a chance to speak to Dr. Head, and he had told me he was at his wit's end with trying to find a good teacher for these African-American middle school students who refused to take social studies and learn about slavery. They had just completely threw all the books out the window and abandoned the class. So when I was brought in as a specialist and was told that I could only teach African-centered education and African-centered history and nothing about slavery, that I had to go into the dynasty stage and could not include anything into these children's curriculum about slavery. And I asked Mr. Head, why was that? He said, because they refused to learn anything else negative about their life and they needed to hear something positive. Now, I'd like to read you a little framework for this reference that I'm about to tell you. They were so right because children need to see that they were a part of history. They don't need to look in from the outside in. They need to be a part of history and see their ancestors building the grounds of the history in order for them to feel proud and respected and develop good character. Now, I'd like to read you this about, this was a conference put together on the necessary need to create African-American curriculum. And this is not coming from Garth, and I'd like to offer this disclaimer. This is a collective effort from a group of instructors, professionals, curriculum writers who came up with this particular document. And it doesn't spell out who all of those people were on the staff, but I nevertheless like to share it with you. But I will offer a disclaimer. This is not according to Garth. This is not my document. It is one that was compiled together by a group of teachers and professionals. Framed of a reference that I'm about to tell you about. In a story about World War II, you would hear the story different, or you would hear a different account of it, and where the children in Japan or a child in the United States is concerned. Where you start the story of history of how to interpret an error or an event in a critical to the frame of reference. The question became, where do you start and who and what do you start with, was a question that these teachers asked. You can start teaching about the air, even the air, the chronological time of order, the timeline, I might add. Wherever the humanity began, Africa-centered education began, and they went on to say a place like Chicago, Illinois, the United States, North America, Europe, Greece, the Western Hemisphere, Africa. It went on to say with the people involved, African, Europeans, Greek, Roman, Christians, Muslim, Colombians, Indian, and Mayans. You can look at the history from various angles and use different things, they went on to say. Boards of education around the country, indeed around the world, established frames of reference by their goals and objectives. They went on to say that they set by the material they use and by the appropriate lesson plan and starting points, and thus this frame of reference for their teachers. Curriculum is the body of the information and the perspective behind the lesson plan that the teacher uses in the classroom. Now, let me stop on that to say, as a curriculum specialist, after teaching for so long, sometimes you can create this curriculum, improvise, and add and re-add things that need to come out or extract things that need to come out and be a good teacher. A good teacher knows how to map out a curriculum for any child and create a curriculum for any child that may have deficits. Let me go on. What makes an African-centered curriculum different is that it is starts from the reference that Africans was the home of early man and early civilization, and that Africans once held the position of world teachers, including the teacher of the Western world. Now, in other words, we are the mothers and fathers of creation, and we once were the teachers of the Western world. It goes on to say the advocates for African-centered curriculum, and that is what I am, ladies and gentlemen. I tell you every day I'm an advocate. I advocate for African-centered curriculum. Does that mean that I'm a racist? Does that mean that I don't like Europeans? Does that mean that I don't like Jewish people? Does that mean that I don't like the Arabs? No. What that means is there's different strokes for different folk, and everyone must develop from their frame of reference. And as I have said so many times, I believe in people, and everyone should have their own. And people should believe in African-American people that they should have their own. I don't know why when it comes to us that nobody believes that we should have our own. They believe that we should be adapting somebody else's mutilated curriculum and try to use it for our own. But they don't believe that we can come to the table and have anything. But I beg the difference with them. The advocates for the African-centered curriculum, they argued, that this approach should be taught in all subjects, in all grades. This objective may or may not be embraced in all public schools, and usually it's not. Whenever we come to the table in African-centered schools, no matter where they are, even if it's in your own neighborhood and you want to project that you want an African-centered curriculum and there are other Caucasians or other nationalities that are going to that school, they beg the difference with you about using a curriculum that is so needed for African children. They'll tell you that that's not all they need and that there's other things, and they won't look at the foundation, the bigger picture. They have dissected so many things as a part that they never look at the whole. Your biggest problem is fighting with your own staff members. Let me go on. And this objective may or may not be embraced in all public schools around the country. However, even our black African Americans will argue and fuss that we don't need all black anything. We have to sometimes stop and explain what's that all about. However, in each and every public educational environment, which the population, environment, and houses to a significance to a majority of African American population, it would be mentally, psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, and social developmentally, disastrously not to infuse African-centered materials in the lesson plan and indeed in the curriculum, spirit agent agenda throughout the school. Now, Mr. Raton wrote this. This is a friend of mine. I know Mr. Raton personally. So here's this segment that he contributed. And he goes on to say, are these new ideas in 1992? He asks. Most learned anthropologists, historians, and geographers agree that men first evolved in Africa, ladies and gentlemen. Let me repeat that. In Africa. Now, I said that things were going to be indicted and things were going to be addressed. Some of you might not agree with what I'm saying. Some of you might think that Omi is off in the wrong direction. But we're going to get it together in this room, ladies and gentlemen, because we're going to teach things that are true. Okay, he goes on to say that there is an ample evidence in the writing and early Greek and Romans that there was civilization in Africa. Even the Bible talks about African people from the beginning. Then why is it when you pick up most textbooks in the public school in the United States, discussions of African and African American begins with slavery, and why the exception of a few well-known heroes, most curriculums around the country exclude the contributions of the African world, or why is it that the contributions of the African world are only talked about in February? Now, let me put a disclaimer on that. Kwanzaa should be taught year-round throughout the year with those seven concepts. Kujichagulia, Ujamaa, Imani, faith. They should be taught throughout the year and not just in the month of February. In an African school, it is hideous for someone to walk in and find that they're only using these things for reserved months of the year. Let me say, we're going to continue this conversation. Tomorrow we're going to be a little bit more vivid with it, and we are going to take you there today because we are going to talk about the success story. We're going to talk about how we can help one another to be able to share in the same beliefs but not have to go there. And we don't have to believe everything that one another believes, but we have to respect it. And I think with a little help from success and coming together and helping every nation become a nation under their own, then we can do it. I know we can with success. I'm going to see you tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Same time, same place. Join me in a success story.
Together we can do it.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Together we can do it. And we are going to examine curriculums and see where we've come the full gamut and where we've fallen short to service our African-American children. And teachers, if you're out there listening, administrators, this is one you don't want to miss, because we're going to examine this thing and find out, have we been perpetrating a fraud and forgetting that these are black children that we service, and have we been implementing curriculums that we know clearly well are not suited for our African-American urban schools. At a time when, at all time high, when we're failing, children are slipping through the cracks, leaving the public school system, we should be doing everything in our power to reexamine the curriculum to see what needs to be changed to bring our children back into schools where they feel themselves connected. Most children tell me that there's nothing new that they want to learn about the public school education. They're not interested, they're not excited, and they are not driven to learn. The majority of the children can get excited about history when they see themselves connected to history and being a part of the structure who helped to build the strong civilization. If they saw their customs and traditions implemented and saw their people there, that would give them the desire to want to have a role model and be that same group of people. But it's very important that they know that we are going to have to be the ones to make a difference. We have not put anything in education. We have not introduced anything new. We're still working from a Eurocentric self-esteem curriculum that does not have anything to do with African-American children. And when they pointed this out to me, I could only do nothing but agree with them. They were certainly right, and I had to make every effort to change the situation so that they would have an opportunity for learning. And I will say this much, as a history teacher, I could see very well where the children had become disinterested. I could see it. And if it's clear enough for me to see, I know a lot of other teachers saw the same thing. We grit and we bear it and we go through and go to staff meetings and we say nothing. It's time to speak up. It's time to say that there needs to be a second eye to look at curriculum that is suited and fitted for African-centered education for black children because they need to learn their history. Most of what's wrong with them is because they have an absence and are disconnected from self, rituals, customs, and tradition. And when you take those things out of one's life and they're not connected to a land base, they become disenfranchised. You must have a vision. You must be connected to a land base, ladies and gentlemen. All the other people in the world are. Why not the African Americans? You must have a source that you can see yourself coming from. There is no such thing as an American continent or land. Nobody knows anything about America when you go somewhere. People are looking at their customs and their tradition. We right now don't have any as African Americans, and we're suffering because of this. We wait for 1 month out of the year to go and decide that we are going to worship and fellowship our ancestors. Not so, ladies and gentlemen. Throughout the year, we must begin to start to implementing true traditional Kwanzaa programs in our neighborhood, in our communities, in our churches. Churches, I'm going to call you to bear. You're not doing a good job of presenting history in the church. You're not doing a good job of talking to the community about being black. You're talking to them about finding goods and services and stockpiling everything, but you're not telling them how to become a person that can establish themselves and become a black conscious person and know that they have power and know that they have authority and that they come from a rich heritage. And you've got to put that back into these churches. You've got to start talking about family life centers and developing black family life centers in their community so that it's okay for them to touch upon African-centered material. And putting African-centered material in the churches would not be a bad idea for you to bring those books into the pulpit and talk about them and introduce them to African families. Now, a Bible is a biblio. It's a book, too. Don't forget that there are many great books that are written that you need to be exposing your congregation to. You need to be making them literate, conscious-minded people. Part of what's wrong with them in their community is that they don't know that they're black. They have no heritage, they don't feel connected, and they don't have a land base. I'm employing you, ministers, apostles, I'm employing you to stop this nonsense about it's not necessary to have dates and a timeline in the Bible. It is necessary. People must be able to see where they fit in the scheme of things. They must see where they fit in and what part they play in order for it to be significant. Now, if you are doing nothing else but teaching from the Bible and you have not incorporated any traditional African-centered material, then something is missing in your service. Something is missing. And if you don't have any programs to fit these young youth that are black, they will see you later, much later, my ad. That's why there's no black males in the church. And if you want those black males in the church, you must get black programs that are centered that will address their needs and the family. So I say this, as a minister that worked very feverishly for the youth, I say this, I saw the discrepancy and the fact that when we go to the church, that the churches were not redeeming us, fully redeeming us to become ourselves and become black again. We must understand that we must not become faded. We must stay ourselves, no matter who likes it or not. We respect other people's culture. They must respect ours and allow us to be. Just allow us to be ourselves. And it's very important, churches, that you take the lead. African-centered churches need to be presented to the African-centered community. And I thank you, and I'd like to say thank you for listening to me this evening and going with me the whole way. And we will see you tomorrow, same time, same station. And we're going to have a speaker on tomorrow. We're going to continue this topic and talking with her in reference to homeschooling. And African-Americans, you get on the stick and call in and ask questions. We're looking forward to hearing from you soon. Thank you very much, and have a great day. Oh, double.